Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast today. Our prayer is that you're blessed of the Lord. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless this teaching for today. God, I ask you, Lord, to bless this teaching for today. And God, anoint my lips, anoint my understanding, and anoint your word, and let it be received in good ground, in open heart and open mind, and God might receive the goodness of God and be enriched by it in Jesus' name. I want to teach today on a subject, God Speaks. We have a lot of people say, well, God spoke to me, and I do believe God speaks to us. I believe he has spoke audibly, and I believe he still does. I believe he speaks in our spirit by that small, still voice. And I want to look at just several ways that through the Word of God, and right interesting, time would not permit to maybe elaborate to the fullest point on each one of these verses, but it does give us an understanding of how that God has spoke throughout the ages. In the book of Amos, let's start out with in chapter 1 and verse 2. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the inhabitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the tops of Carmel shall wither. Here he said, God, the Lord, he will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. So he speaks by a voice. He speaks within a roar. Now we're going to look in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, in verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not found in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. In verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Here we have an understanding that God, with all his triumph, we read there in Amos of the roar, we read of all the fervent of all this power and all this things that took place. And here Elijah is all these things happen and as they took forth. Then we find that God spoke to him in a small, still voice. A lot of time we have to pull ourselves aside, and we have to do prayer and supplication, read his word, study, do all the things required. But when we get alone with God in our prayer closets, it's that still voice in our spirit that allows us to know. I had a situation just the other day. I got some bad news about a situation. And I got alone with God for a few moments. And all of a sudden, the Lord quickened me about three times. And I knew that the Lord had told me that that situation that I'd got bad news on was going to be okay, not to be concerned about the bad news, but look forward unto that which that God was able to do exceedingly above all I could ask or think, according to the power of God that's working within me. So I know that God is going to take care of the situation, because I've heard his still voice. That small, still voice, a lot of time, is the most powerful and positive voice that we hear. Now, in 1 Samuel, in chapter 3, and verse 4 through 10, we find that God, he beckons. And here in verse 4, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Elijah and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I calleth not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again unto Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou did call me. And he answered, I call not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. I find in verse 7 a very important understanding. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. First of all, you got to know the Lord. Now, I know that God has spoke to sinners. There's proof in the Bible that God has spoke and has used sinners to get his will and his work done. I've had sinners actually say things to me that was very much a God-led thing. But as a whole, God said that, you know, he heareth not sinners. His hand's not short in his ear. It's not death. He's able to hear, he's able to save, but God is not required to hear the sinner. He's not required to fulfill anything to the sinner because the sinner does not yet know God. And here Samuel did not know the Lord at that time. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Many folks, even that know the Lord, they've not allowed the word of God to be revealed to them. They live the life that's tainted with sin and tainted with all kind of transgressions. And that silences the voice of God in their heart, their life. And so if we get saved, come to the Lord, then we answer. We must be of a willing mind. We must be of a willing spirit. They must first of all be in you that understanding that you're willing to be obedient to God, willing to obey God. So here a very important thing that God beacons a call. He beckons to us and calls us by his spoken word. And he will reveal himself if we will answer. Now in Genesis in the 12th chapter, and in starting there in verse 1, Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from the house, from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Herein the Lord directly spoke to Abraham, and he blessed him and said all the seed of God's going to come through his seed. And this is the same blessing that's upon Israel. All those that bless Israel, God's going to bless. And if you curse Israel, God's going to curse you. We need to keep that in mind. Here is a direct voice that spoke to Abraham, giving him this exact word. And Abraham was sent according to that wherein God spoke to him to do so. God also beseeches. He also speaks in a direct understanding, and God purges by his holy angels. He purges by his blood. Here he purged by taking a coal off the altar of the Lord and touching his lips. And it created a situation in verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 6. And it said, And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touch thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sins are purged. Verse 8, Also I hear the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, Lord. He said, send me. Here am I. He said, send me. Is that our prayer today? Have you heard the voice of the Lord? Are you willing to be obedient and say, here am I, Lord, would you please send me? Now we go into Jeremiah in the 9th chapter, verse 13 through verse 16, and we find out God, he chastens. And here it says in verse 13, and the Lord said, because thou hast forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walketh therein, but have walked after the nation of their own hearts, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Verse 15. Therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. Verse 16. I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Here is a chastening that was spoken by the Lord. So we find God roars, God whispers, God beckons, God sends, God beseeches, and God chastens. And now I want to cover one more understanding. God promises in Jeremiah 31, verse 31 through verse 34. Now starting in verse 31. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, said the Lord. Verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, for the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. God made a promise, and God will keep his word. They will be that day that he restore his people, and they've already coming back to the homeland. And I'm going to tell you something, the world is going to have to take heed. Some of the things we've covered here today covers a vast amount of understanding. First of all, in the blessing of Israel, we better bless God's people. We better bless Israel. Because if we curse them, we're going to be cursed. And God is going to keep his word. And he is going to fulfill everything that he has said, everything that his voice has ever spoken. And there's going to be that day when all Israel shall be saved. The fulfillment of this section of scripture right here in chapter 31, especially 33, 34, is going to be a reality. He said, I will remember their sins no more. Grace is going to have her perfect work. And in that day, there's going to be one foe. And, you know, the people hate the Jew because they hate God. And God is their chosen people, and for that reason they hate. I know we as Gentiles, we are adopted into the family of God, grafted in contrary to nature. And the world hates us. We go out here and we have a battle because we belong to God. But God's going to keep his word. He's going to keep his promise. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. God, as men and women hear your voice, and if they'll come unto you and call upon your name and repent of their sins and ask you to come in their heart and save them, that's our prayer, that men and women come to know you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.